At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Brian Chambers is an American art dealer and collector with a visionary approach and independent curatorial skills. His inspiration, rooted in the psychedelic art of the 1960s, led him to gather works by Alex Gray, Rick Griffin, and Salvador Dali, and rare pieces signed by Albert Hofmann, who discovered and synthesized LSD. Chambers actively commissioned works for his collection and others, amassing around 300 pieces over 15 years. His project began to take shape in 2009 when he initiated an experimental venture involving commissioning collaborative works from a hand-picked group of artists operating under the alias of Further. This collective ventured beyond conventional artistic institutions, including performances, public murals, and workshops across New York, California, Arizona, Nevada, and New Orleans. And he is here today to tell us about the Brian Chambers Project and much more. Welcome, Brian, to Cannabis Radio.
Thanks for having me, man. Happy to be here.
My pleasure. As an old traditional California hippie, I myself have become somewhat of an aficionado of psychedelic art, and I've been fascinated since I was a child in the 60s. In the mid-1980s, I had a sizable collection of family dog posters in poster tubes stolen from the back of my truck as I was moving, which, of course, broke my heart. And in light of that, preserving this art's historical legacy and showcasing current and future works, I just think it's just so important, and your efforts to that end are very exciting. You currently have an 8,000 square foot gallery in Grass Valley, California, and I want to hear all about that. Before we get into the Psychedelic Arts and Culture Trust and PACT and everything that you've got going on, what's your personal history? How did you become interested in and a caretaker and curator of the psychedelic art medium?
You know, my journey in this field began in 1995 upon discovering LSD and the various psychedelics out there. I grew up in Tennessee, and you know, I was my parents were appreciators of art, not collectors per se, but they did have Salvador Dali prints, and we did, you know, go to art museums when we were traveling, and they always appreciated it and did show me art. But one day when I was actually tripping in science class, my science teacher, Mrs. Prim, had an Alex Gray poster hanging on the wall. And while I was tripping, she told us that this art was inspired by LSD. You know, and that was a serious aha sort of moment for me, where I realized, okay, maybe it's not just me, and maybe psychedelic art is a thing. You know, I just got done reading the book Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and thus discovering the work of Ralph Steadman, and that's kind of where my research into the field began. You know, and obviously when you start researching psychedelic art and the movement behind it, that leads you to Rick Griffin and the work of all the 60s poster artists, you know, that were coming out of San Francisco. And so, you know, that's kind of Alex Gray, Rick Griffin, and Ralph Steadman would definitely kind of be some of the forefathers of my taste and aesthetic. And that kind of just been diving down that rabbit hole ever since.
Wow. Yeah, I can really relate, man. I also tripped in science class, man. So I guess that's a thing. The Chambers Project, PACT, represents some of the most influential contemporary artists in the field of psychedelia. And of course, the psychedelic art movement really, I think, coalesced in the San Francisco Bay Area in the mid to late 1960s. Well, its roots go back further, like the Surrealist movement and what have you, Dada. You've developed relationships with renowned figures such as you mentioned, Ralph Steadman, Roger Dean of the Yes album covers, and many more, the estate of Rick Griffin. You refer to the Chambers Project as holding the esteemed position as the, quote, world's leading psychedelic art gallery. So tell us all about it. What will people find there, and why, in your words, is it significant?
Well, you know, I think kind of one thing that separates myself from other curators and gallerists is that I have never shied away from the word psychedelic, you know, whereas up until just, you know, now, really, I think psychedelic was, you know, frowned upon and wasn't necessarily viewed as, you know, blue chip fine art, like the highest level sort of stuff. And I've always felt differently, you know, so I've always declared the work that I collect and represent as psychedelic and been very proud of that, you know. And so these days, as psychedelics are becoming, you know, destigmatized and more socially accepted and medically applied around the world, you know, it's becoming hip and more people are gravitating towards it. But I've always been here, you know, and this is something that I've always been proud of. But, you know, it is exciting. And I have been kind of anticipating, looking forward to this moment in time that we're now in where, you know, not being psychedelic is cool and interesting. And, you know, so this is a field that I've always just been very personally interested in. And, you know, the current show that I'm about to open here in 48 hours is, you know, kind of a deep look into where the taste began, you know, and kind of where it's going. But this particular show that is coming up is going to be a really epic show with some of the most serious, iconic moments in psychedelic art, counterculture, rock and roll history, and a good look into what is possible with serious intention into looking into, you know, the past, present, and future of psychedelic art.
And some of your exhibited pieces are available for sale?
Yeah, there are. You know, it's kind of this particular show is more of like a museum hybrid sort of show, if you will. You know, this is kind of, you know, the introduction to PACT and what is possible when looking and curating through more of a philanthropic lens, if you will. You know, so this is, you know, I have borrowed a lot of works for this show. There's also a lot of works from my personal collection. And there is, you know, I would say half of the show is available for purchase, but there are certainly pieces that are, you know, never to be sold and have to be in the collection to really build PACT into what I see it being in the future.
So what kind of response have you had from the media and what have you? I mean, is there a lot of excitement building?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think the response thus far has been very, very positive. There's definitely a lot of people that are very excited. You know, I've got a lot of friends that are traveling from faraway places. And, you know, it is definitely a unique opportunity for a lot of people to see a lot of the most iconic works that have a lot of them have never been shown before, you know, and that's kind of one of the unfortunate things for a lot of this stuff is I always hate it when people get these holy grail sort of pieces and just kind of lock them away in a closet and don't let anybody see them. That's exactly opposite of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring, you know, these very iconic and holy grail sort of pieces into the accessible public to where people can get up close and personal and check them out. Because, you know, a lot of this stuff, I mean, we've got the whole collection of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and I definitely think that has been hugely impressionable upon a ton of people around the world. So it's a very exciting moment for me to be able to show this stuff to everybody and under one roof, all on one wall.
I think that Danielle might have showed you the picture I sent of my Rick Griffin Oxymoxa with the three-layer hand-cut spermatozoa matting around it. That's one of my prized
killer frame job.
That's one of my prized pieces, man. And
yeah, dude,
and
me too.
I've got a signed Alton Kelly and a signed Stanley Mouse, and you know, ironically or coincidentally, Alton Kelly's son, Yossarian Rex Kelly, is old dear friend of mine. I've known him for almost 40 years. And then we had Stanley Mouse actually came in, I think it was about 2017, and did a compilation cover for us for the Highway to Hemp Fest cover. And it's exciting because some of these, you know, not only are some of these artists still producing art, you know, obviously people like Alex Gray, Stanley Mouse, but there's also kind of a new wave coming up, kind of continuing this legacy. Am I right?
For sure, man. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, the older we get and the more time goes by, there's going to be the whole younger generation looking to these, you know, godfathers and ringleaders of this scene. You know, and I think the influence that all these guys have had upon the world at large is massive and only going to grow as time goes by. You know, and yeah, it's great that we still got Stanley rocking and rolling and, you know, producing. He's actually the first artist I ever commissioned, so I definitely go way back with Stanley. And you know, it's
and he's bouncing back. He's bouncing back after a stroke, and back in the saddle. If only Bob Ross was still around and we could dose him.
No doubt.
All right, man. I'm talking to Brian Chambers about the Brian Chambers Project and more. And we're going to take a quick break and come right back for our second segment. So don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
And we're back with Brian Chambers. You know, Brian, the 1960s was a period of extreme social upheaval and conflict. And today we kind of face similar, you know, or even like more dire existential threats and severe divisions that kind of echo the turbulence of that decade, minus the peace and love, tragically. What do you think the cultural impact of your, first of all, tell us about your Godfather's exhibition and what is its role in furthering the appreciation and understanding of psychedelic art within the broader art community? And why do you think that this art tied to the past is relevant to current events?
Well, the current exhibition that opens here on Saturday night is called Godfathers, and it is essentially, you know, a survey, a deep look into some of the most pivotal moments in the careers of Ralph Steadman, Rick Griffin, Roger Dean, and also my mentor, Jacaber Caster. Jacaber Caster had a very influential gallery in New York City that opened on Halloween 1986 with an exhibition by Rick Griffin. And he was really an art world legend. He was a teenager in the Bay Area in the 60s, and he was kind of the one that had the foresight to recognize the 60s poster movement as a major movement within art history. And he took it upon himself to archive all of the material and kind of bring it to the forefront of the world in a fine art gallery setting. And he's kind of the one that I credit, a lot of people credit, as putting the value and the significance on the 60s poster movement. You know, and this is kind of this show as a whole is just kind of a deep.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Look into, you know, some of the work that has been the most influential in me as a person, as an individual, but also as a curator, you know. So we've got a lot of, you know, a lot of the most iconic original works that Rick Griffin did for the Grateful Dead and for Jimi Hendrix, you know, a lot of his most epic concert posters, but also Man from Utopia, which is kind of his magnum opus that was done between 68 and 72. You know, obviously, this was shortly after LSD became illegal and the war on drugs started beginning. You know, the Vietnam War, everything that was going on then, and the hippie movement, the countercultural movement, which was really obviously pushing back on everything that was creatively happening and kind of pushed a lot of this art into, you know, the outsider art arena and the fringe of society, if you will. You know, what we're kind of trying to do here is amplify that and shine a bright light on it. And now that, you know, we are in times like we currently are, the world at large is, things are sketchy, man. Things are wild out there. So, you know, I think it's a good time for psychedelics as medicine to spread.
Yes.
And to be used and benefited from, you know, and kind of what we're looking at doing here is spreading that sort of consciousness and awareness in a positive way to encourage and inspire creativity.
And in a way, it's legitimizing what you're doing, I think, is in a big way legitimizing the quality and the spirit and the legacy of that psychedelic consciousness, which we all know is timeless, right?
100%.
And I really believe that this right-wing culture war stuff that we're dealing with now is just a perpetuation of the response to the 60s counterculture and all of the social movements that came out of it, you know, that are, you know, it's the ripples, as it were, are still, you know, moving out from the center of the 60s. So, yeah, man, I think that this is the time is right in a lot of, in, you know, the time is right.
That's how it feels for me, man.
We couldn't have enough mind expansion and consciousness right now because we're hurting, like you say. So
sure.
I was reading that PACT functions as a cultural center for arts, retrospective exhibits, and educational resources like panels and workshops. And I couldn't resist this pun. Can you unpack that for us a little bit?
Yeah, you know, this weekend we are formally announcing PACT. You know, it is our newly formed nonprofit. As you said earlier, the building itself is 8,000 square feet. It's kind of divided in two, so the layout is kind of built and perfect for it. You know, we're dedicating 4,000 square feet of the space to build it out as a museum and multi-purpose event center. You know, it's going to be very heavily driven by the community. Lots of workshops, lots of panel discussions. Definitely, you know, a couple times a year we'll do a rotating exhibit, which will be kind of a survey where people can come and learn about psychedelics as medicines, but also see the visual effects that they had on art and culture throughout time. You know, and we're very excited about it. We're going to have a little panel discussion with our board, and the board that we've built is built with some very, very interesting individuals with very diverse backgrounds, but all driven towards the same goal. And that is, you know, bringing this art and culture into a shining light and pushing things forward in a positive way.
So you just mentioned that the PACT, or Psychedelic Arts and Culture Trust, is a nonprofit hosted within the Chambers Project Galleries space. Is that a 501c3? Can people donate to that?
It is.
How would they find you to get in on that?
We
good vibe.
Yeah. We have just launched our website. It is enterthepact.org. And we have just started an Instagram also with the same handle, Enter the Pact.
Good stuff, man.
Thanks,
good
man.
Stuff. I mean, what you're doing is just really powerful. And you obviously are juggling a lot of balls at the same time and keeping them up in the air. And with that in mind, you know, how do you approach your role as a, quote, distinct curator and gallery owner connecting retrospective and contemporary influential artwork within the psychedelic art landscape? How do you manage all this stuff, man?
You know,
What's your
I mean,
approach?
for me, I'm so deep in it, and I've been so interested and committed to this for the last 30 years. It's honestly like the only thing I know how to do. It's truly my way of life. You know, I really have. I mean, I've got a family. I've got a couple beautiful teenage daughters and a family that I absolutely love. But I truly live and breathe this stuff. You know, I've just been making it a point to meet all of the people that have collected and contributed to the pushing forward of this genre and this field for the last 30 years. So it's really all I know how to do, you know? So it's kind of become my life's mission to share this and everything that I've learned and found and have access to. You know, I really just, it's such an honor and a pleasure to be able to show this stuff and tell the stories and, you know, bring everyone that is interested into the fold and come check it out up close and personal.
Right on. Well, that sounds, you know, like it's really fulfilling to be able to kind of realize this and become a conduit for the art that, you know, excites you so much. I mean, you know, you're presenting this stuff to the world in a context and in a professional way, like you kind of intimated at the beginning, that is on par with the fine art world, you know. And this is really high art. This is high art in the most literal term, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
Yeah, you know, it's super fun, man. It's a ton of fun, and you get to meet a ton of very interesting characters along the way.
Nice. And there's a lot of folks that are still alive too. You know, I mean, a lot of legacy people, you know, and here we are standing on the shoulders of giants, and some of those giants are still available, which is really powerful, which is why your timing is also really profound. And it's time for me to go to a break. So we're going to take another break and come back with our final segment for Brian Chambers.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
And we're back for our final segment with Brian Chambers. Brian, what can you tell us about upcoming exhibits and events, such as, I was reading, panels, installations, and upcoming shows for PACT?
Yeah, you know, I guess the first show, the first proper show that we're going to do in the PAC side of the building, it's going to be a benefit. We're having a benefit concert on April 7th with the Sam Grisman Project. That's going to be a daytime musical event. The first art event that we're going to have in PAC is opening on May 4th. And that's a land preservation project for the Wirakuta tribe from northern Mexico. We're going to be, we're going to have a whole show with, you know, beaded works, yarn paintings. And those are the first two events that we're going to have in PACT before building out the programming for the rest of the year. And that's April 7th and May 4th.
Any thoughts to take it on the road at some point with a traveling exposition down the road?
You know, definitely. You know, I've actually had a lot of inquiries and a lot of people contacting me about traveling the Godfather show that we're opening in the gallery this weekend. And I'd certainly love to do that. You know, I do think this show is deserving of traveling because not everybody can get to Grass Valley in the next 10 weeks. I'm always open to it. I would love to travel shows like this, and I love traveling, period. So, yeah, I'm definitely an open book and would love to do things like this around the world.
How about underground comics like, you know, Zap, Mother Oats, Yellow Dog, and all that stuff? I think that could probably loosely qualify as psychedelic art.
No, definitely. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, if you're not familiar with Rick Griffin's Man from Utopia, you should be. because that is his magnum opus, and he published that in 1972, and you know, he joined the Zapp crew in 1968. He's part of the Zapp Seven. So yeah, underground comics definitely have a very overtly psychedelic undertone, and I love that stuff.
Well, you know, I'm thrilled to help you to have you on here during your launch period. Just so exciting. What you're doing is just really powerful, man, in every way. And just so much rich, deep, you know, cultural and historic relevance, as well as just, you know, the consciousness expansion that this is all a part of, which is just essential to life and preserving, you know, life on our planet, man, because, you know, we're really in it now. And it might be kind of up to us, you know, to pull this together, because the time's running out. And my time's running out on the show as well. So any final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with, man, about what you got going on?
We're opening the Godfather show this Saturday, March 9th, and it will run until May 25th at the Chambers Project in Grass Valley, California. You can find us on our website, thechambersproject.com, also on Instagram, The Chambers Project. And, you know, we're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5. Come through, check it out. And, yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. I really appreciate you having me. And I'd love to meet you. I'd love for you to come down and check it out. I'll blow your mind. I'll show you all kinds of shit.
Why is it that I believe you? I believe it will blow my mind, man. I have a mind that likes to be blown, my brother.
Me too, man. Me too. Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Once again, man, you're just, thank you for your efforts. You know, it's just very exciting, and sound like you're the right person to be doing this. And I just wish you nothing but the best and luck with your opening, and we'll do our best to get the word out.
Thank you so much, man. It's an honor and a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
All right. And give my best to Danielle.
Will do, bud.
That concludes this installment of Hampers In on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find your voice and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. The Hampers In intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand, and the outro music is Take Back the Plant by Stickerbush. See you next time. Stay strong. Marijuana.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on Hero.co for more information.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.